Good morning. It is such a joy to be with you and to see you face to face after such a long time. I feel so close to this church. We have so many deep connections, but it has been a year and a half since I've seen you other than on Zoom. So I am delighted to be with you today. Let us pray together. Lord, we are so grateful to be in your presence. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to be open to the word that you have for us this day. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Laura has done a beautiful job of reading our scripture passage for us today, but I would like to read it again for you just a little bit differently and add a scripture passage. These are the stories we have of Jesus and his friends, Martha and Mary. Now, as they traveled, Jesus entered a certain village we know as Bethany, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to all that he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all of the work? Please tell her to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one, and Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." John 11:5. Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and their brother Lazarus. John 12. 6 days before Passover, Jesus entered Bethany, where Lazarus, so recently raised from the dead, was living. Lazarus and his sisters invited Jesus to dinner at their home, and Martha served. I was recently listening to a podcast that talked about how important it is for us to realize that what we hear, see, and experience, the way we do that with most things, everything from books, news, stories, food, entertainment, and much more, we view through our own particular lenses based on many things: how we were raised, our generation, the country we live in, our family of origin. And I don't think any of us are surprised to hear that. We realize that every person has experiences in their life that impact how they see the world and the things we encounter in it. But often, I think, we forget and don't realize how much that impacts how we hear and experience Scripture. The stories we've heard all of our lives about Jesus, we welcome into ourselves through our own lens. Unless we go to another country and hear them talk about Scripture from a different point of view, or we have a friend with a different life experience who sees something differently than we do, we often hear it from our own point of view. I overheard a missionary friend a few years ago talk about how she now notices when her American friends talk about stories from the Bible from their American point of view. I thought about that this week as I studied again this passage about the interaction between Jesus and Martha. There have been so many times in my life when I've heard this story about Martha and Mary used to compare the two of them, and even as an encouragement to not be a Martha, but to be a Mary. As an Enneagram 3, someone whose personality type is sort of wrapped up in performance and things to do and doing them well and how those are perceived. I am through and through a Martha. But I strive and actually really relate to Mary. Her desire to sit at Jesus' feet, her longing to learn from him. So as I was growing up, I used to leave sermons and conversations around this passage feeling discouraged because I am constantly moving, planning, preparing, and wanting everything to look and be great for the people that I am serving. But in recent years, I have come to see this passage and the conversation between Jesus and Martha very differently. The first reason is simply because these passages that tell us the story about Jesus and his friendship with Martha, Mary, and Lazarus are some of my favorite stories of the entire Bible. I love them so much that I've read them many times, read other people's interpretations of these stories. I have taught them. I almost feel like they're my friends. And that has helped me to see this passage differently. There is no other family in the Bible that we see Jesus visiting multiple times. And outside of the disciples, there are no other individual friends that the Bible specifically mentions that Jesus loves. In John 11, verse 5, it says, Jesus loved Martha, her sister Mary, and their brother Lazarus. There are lots of other scriptures that reveal that Jesus had compassion for people, that he had compassion for Jerusalem, that he loved the disciples, and there, of course, is the disciple whom Jesus loved. But no other individuals outside of the disciples are mentioned in the same way as how Jesus loved them. We also see him going to their home in three different stories. The one we are looking at today, the one when Lazarus dies and Martha and Mary confront Jesus and he raises Lazarus from the dead. And the third is when he returns to their home after Lazarus has been resurrected and Mary washes his feet with her perfume. Jesus cares deeply for his friends. The second reason I've come to understand this story differently is because of a shift in a cultural perspective that has happened for us over the last decade or so. We have to face it. We are a comparison culture, one that competes for almost everything, and we are often tempted to compare ourselves to others in almost every area of our lives. I think that's why we've always read this story through that lens. It's a lens we know, a lens we experience all the time. But although we still often compare ourselves to others and lift up the best and the brightest, there has been a positive movement in recent years toward affirming that every one of us is beautifully and wonderfully made, that we are enough as we are. For example, we've seen the fashion industry move to be more inclusive of people of all shapes and sizes, ethnicities, and abilities. Although we still have so much work to do, many of us are seeking more diversity in all aspects of our life, work, entertainment, organizations, the books we read, the products we buy, and honestly, even in our own personal groups of friends. Although gradual, there is a move away from a cookie-cutter idea of perfection and success. But you know, sometimes when something really great happens, like a much-needed cultural shift, there can be smaller, not-so-great side effects. For example, I have the blessing of being able to mentor young women on occasion as a part of my ministry. And I've heard of them struggle with the tension of enough. As a part of embracing the truth that they are enough, beautifully and wonderfully made by God, not in need of competition with others for attention, perfection, or a worldly view of success, I've seen them slip into using enough as an excuse not to lean into their best selves, or to cover up the anxiety of trying something new or accepting a challenge by falling back into being just fine with enough. So what I've come to understand and believe about our story today that is different from the way I've heard it growing up is that Jesus sees Martha as enough. Jesus never tells Martha that what she is doing is wrong. He never says that she should not be serving. He just tells her that in this moment, there is a better choice that she could choose to embrace. Back in November, during the pandemic, I had the joy of being with some of you, members of Auburn First Baptist Church, for a Zoom book study. And together we read the book, The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown. In the second chapter, she explores the power of love, belonging, and being enough. Brené is a researcher in the field of social work, specifically in the field of vulnerability and shame. One truth that she has discovered in her research is that love and belonging are essential to the human experience. She says, takes that to the next level by saying that if we want to truly experience love and belonging, we have to believe that we are worthy of love and belonging, that we are enough, just as we are, to be worthy of being in deep relationship with others. But she says something else that I find interesting. She says we cultivate love when we allow our most vulnerable selves to be deeply seen and known. That is partnered with that yearning for belonging. Because this yearning is so great, we sometimes find ourselves standing outside of our own story, trying to earn and hustle for our own worthiness by constantly performing, perfecting, pleasing, and proving. But that hustle and need to earn approval becomes a barrier to belonging, because true belonging only happens when we present our authentic, imperfect selves to the world. What I see now in the stories of Jesus and Martha is that Jesus loves Martha just as she is. He sees her, and he even blesses her giftedness. How do we know that? Because when we see them together again after this story, Martha is once again serving Jesus, Lazarus, and their other guests at dinner. Also, the Bible specifically tells us that Jesus loves her and that he sees her. He notices all of her work, all that she is trying to accomplish. And in this moment in time, he looks at her, calls her by name, and says, "I see you. I see you are so busy to the point that you are anxious about many things. But there is a better option. Spend some time with me. Come, sit with us. There is a better way. In this story, there is no need for Martha to hustle for worthiness or to be anxious about her duties, and there is no need for us to compare her to Mary. Jesus has a way of letting people know that they are seen and loved, that they are worthy of love and connection just as they are, but he also loves us so much that he almost always encourages us to be what he sees in us, which could be more. I think about Jesus and Peter. Jesus called Peter to follow him as one of his disciples after filling his boat full of fish and saying, "I see you, that gift for fishing, but follow me and I will show you how to fish for people." After Jesus was crucified and resurrected, he went to the disciples in the room in which they were staying, and he breathed into them the Holy Spirit and told them to go. But they stayed. They seemed to not be able to find their way. So Peter returned to what he knew and went fishing. So Jesus met him there by the lake and once again blessed Peter's gift by filling up his nets with fish, so many fish that they could barely pull the boat to shore. And then Jesus and Peter had a conversation right there on the sand with fish and bread, where Jesus looked at Peter in the face and invited him to remember. Yes, Peter, you're a great fisherman. But love had called him to more. And that love had seen Peter be a part of a lunch of fish and bread turned into a meal for thousands. That love had been a part of the blind seeing and the lame walking. Peter, you are enough. In fact, you are more than enough. You can keep fishing and I will bless it by filling up your nets. But you could feed my sheep, love my people, lead people into fishing a better way. And we know what happened. Peter leaned into the calling of Jesus and what Jesus saw inside of him and became the preacher of the Pentecost, the father of the early church. It's what Jesus does when he sees us. And you know, Jesus did that for me too. For a decade, I worked dual careers. And when people asked, I would say, "I'm an event manager by career, and I do church as a hobby." Until the day when I heard Jesus say to me, "Deep in my soul, you are a great event manager, more than good enough, but your calling is to the church. It's what you love because I've put a spark of joy inside you, and it is where I will lead you to love others in a better way." So Brené Brown discovered something else in her work that I think is quite amazing. In all of her studies with thousands of people, her research reveals that we practice loving others better when we learn to love ourselves. Someone wrote about that. Certainly, the people we love inspire us to heights of love and compassion that we may have never achieved otherwise. But to really scale those heights, we often have to go into the depths of who we are and figure out our own stuff in order to love them better. Does that sound familiar to you? A teacher of the law once asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" And Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And another which is like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself." I believe our scripture today reveals two truths. One, Jesus sees and knows us and loves us. We are enough exactly as we were created to be. And two, his love calls us to lean into even more. Those two truths stand together simultaneously. They do not cancel each other out. Brené Brown says, "No matter how much I get done or is left undone, at the end of the day, I am enough. I'm going to bed at night thinking, yes, I am imperfect and vulnerable and sometimes afraid, but that doesn't change the truth that I am also brave and worthy of love and belonging." And Jesus said it first, and continues to constantly say to us, "I love you just as you are. You are so enough. But I am inviting you to follow me. Let's spend some time together because there is something even better." Amen.